And last week our subject was Nick at Night. We were talking about the experience of Nicodemus. And I want to carry on from that message. And if you weren't here last Sunday, it is available on our website. You can download it or you can stream it. Or you can order a CD if you like to have things on CD. And that was from last Sunday. Just before we read our scripture, I do want to reiterate with Sister Latoya that it is wonderful to have Brother Brent back with us. And I wasn't sure he'd be able to play the guitar. I don't think he was really sure either. He still has some recovery to make. And thank you for your prayers for him and your kind thoughts and those who gave. Thank you. And I know that you've been a blessing to him. And it's just great to have him back. As you notice, we've been kind of giving him the morning off in every other aspect. And he looks good, but he just has some further recovery to go. And so keep praying that he will completely recover from his accident. John chapter number 3, verse number 6. John chapter 3, verse number 6. Down to verse number 8, if you would read with me. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. My subject for this morning is simply catch the wind. Catch the wind. And I'm going to ask you to pray with me as we invite the Lord to minister here today. Father, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that as we've gathered here and as our hearts and our voices have been lifted in worship to you, Lord, that you have been ministering already. Lord, that your Spirit has been at work within our lives as you do your perfect work. I pray now that you'll enable me to speak your word effectively, Lord, to communicate the precepts and the concepts, and Lord, that you will speak into our lives today, and Lord, that most of all, this will not just be a message of human words, but Lord, that it will be anointed by your Spirit, that Lord, it will be the words of the Spirit that will speak into our lives, and Lord, that something supernatural will happen here in this place, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. For those of you who were not here last week, let me give you just a little bit of background. John chapter 3 starts with the story of a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night, and that was the title last week, Nick at Night. He came to Jesus at night, and Nicodemus was not just anybody in the time in which he lived. He was a somebody. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling council of the Jews. They had authority not only over Jews in Palestine, but Jews around the world, and Nicodemus was part of that group. He was a well-respected man, probably getting up in years, used to having people respect him and honor him and treat him with respect. He would be a man who was educated, a man who was thoughtful. He came to Jesus at night. There are several interpretations of why at night. Some feel it was because others on the Sanhedrin would have thought that he was switching sides. The Sanhedrin was aligned against Jesus. And so he came to Jesus at night. Others feel like it was because at night was the easiest time to get to talk to Jesus one-on-one. Whatever the reason was, he comes to Jesus and he tells Jesus, "Good Master, thou art a teacher sent from God, and we know that no man can do the works that you do except God be with him." And Jesus looked at him and said something that was kind of startling. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, "What? What do you mean? I don't understand. And Jesus didn't just simply explain it. He went a little further and he said that if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born of water and of spirit. The word born again means to have a new beginning. It means to have a supernatural transformation. And so Nicodemus looks at Jesus and says, well, Jesus, look, I'm an old man. I can't go into my mother's womb and be born again. That's impossible. Can you imagine? That's ridiculous. And Jesus began to explain to him, you've got to be born again. And then he made the statements that are found in our text today. He began to speak to him about the Spirit. He began to speak to him about how the Spirit is like wind, that you can feel the effects of it, but you cannot see it. As I was preparing this message, I was sitting outside and I was watching as, and it was a fairly windy day, and I was watching as the wind was going through the leaves of the trees and the leaves of the vegetation around me, and I don't often stop to watch leaves rustle. But I was watching them, and you would see them on the plants that are along the edge of our property. You would see them, and the wind would come, and those leaves would begin to rustle, and you would hear the noise of the wind coming through the leaves. And then the gust of wind would pass, and those leaves would settle down, and then a little more breeze would come, and the leaves would begin to rustle again. And I was thinking about this scripture as I was sitting and watching them, and I was thinking, I can see the effect of the wind, but I can't see the wind. I was out the other day on that same day. I mentioned last week I started cycling, and so I got out, I was out on my bike, and this weekend, and for the first half of my bike ride, it was tough because there was kind of a prevailing kind of breeze or wind. And I'm not a professional at bike riding, an amateur at best. And so as I was riding into the wind. Now, my bike is not one of those bikes where you lean over and you're bent all over and you don't catch the wind. Mine's, you know, for older gentlemen. Although, I was out I was out the other day, and there was this older gentleman on one of those bikes with the handlebars turned down, and he was just pedaling for all he's worth, and all of a sudden he just went by me, and I admit that I did try to speed up a little bit just to kind of keep up. But they told me when I bought this bike that the thing about it is that when you bike with this bike and you sit a little more upright on it, and when you bike with this bike, they said, you're going to catch the wind. You're not bent over like you were on your last bike, and you're not bent over like you are on the racing bikes, the road bikes. You're going to be standing up straighter, so when the wind is blowing, you are going to catch the wind. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody that bikes like that and you know what I'm talking about? I mean, so on this ride, I was riding along, and, you know, I am not a speed demon, but I time myself because I'm competitive. And so if I can't compete with somebody else, I got to compete with myself, and I'm always trying to get, you know, another minute off my time. And you know how hard that is. And so this day, I'm pedaling, and my legs are starting to burn a little bit. They don't ordinarily like that, and I'm pedaling along because the wind is coming at me. And because of the way my bike is made, I sit upright, and I catch the wind. But then, I came to the end of the bike path, and I turned around. And for every ounce of struggle it was going against the wind, all of a sudden, and you know, because I'm competitive, when I come to that turn, I always have to check my watch because I know about how long it should take me to get to the turn and how well I'm doing, and I was not doing very well. I mean, it was just a struggle. And by the way, there is no spandex involved when I'm biking. Just wanted to make that clear. There's a helmet, yes. You know, there are two types of people who wear spandex. I might get in trouble for this, but there are two types of people who wear spandex. There's one group who look, you know, they're built for it, but they shouldn't because they are built for it. And there's another group that shouldn't because they just shouldn't. At any time. And you know what, as a Christian, you know, the Bible teaches us that our bodies are, I'm getting way off here now, our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. And I was thinking about that and I thought, you know, sometimes instead of being temples of the Holy Ghost, we want our bodies to be some Canadian's idol. Now, I'm serious. Oh, I'm preaching now. You see, the Bible teaches us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost and that we need to project Christ and not sensuality. I'd take an amen right now. Amen. That the way that we dress reflects our values as a Christian. And so, anyway, I was on my bike ride, getting back to it. And when I turned around and started coming back, I want to tell you, as hard as it was going, I was sailing. Because the wind that was against me was now behind me and pushing me. And, you know, I felt like one of those speed racers on my old man bike. Because as hard as it was going, I was going fast, going back the other way. Because I was catching the wind and going with the wind. And brother and sister, the Bible speaks of God's Spirit in the Bible as wind. The Hebrew word ruach and the Greek word pneuma in the New Testament are literally, and they're words that are translated as spirit, literally mean breath or wind. And so when the Hebrews would speak of the ruach of God, the Spirit of God, they were speaking of the wind. And often when God was at work, the symbol of the wind was involved. Think about it in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. There was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Did God need to make it sound like a wind? No, He didn't. But it was the symbol of the Spirit of God that was at work within the lives of those believers. Now, when I was on vacation, I had the privilege to go sailing. Now, I know that there are some sailors here today. And if I use the wrong term, just forgive me, because I am not a sailor. But while we were on vacation, my brother called me and said, I'm going out on sailboat tonight. We go sailboat racing on Thursday nights. And if you'd like to come, we talked about it before. So if you'd like to come, we're going. And so I said, well, sure, I've never done it. And I would like to try it. So I drove down to the yacht club and met the guys there, and they were talking about it. They said, well, you know, it's a windy night, and boy, the number of boats that are racing tonight is going to be down because it's windy. And I'm like a neophyte. I don't know. It just looks like water to me. And, you know, I thought you had to have lots of wind to sail a boat. I didn't know you could have too much. Well, I guess I did, but I wasn't thinking you could have too much wind. And so we got on the boat, and I'm a sailor now. And so the skipper, for lack of a better term, told me that, I said, you know, what do you want me to do? Well, they had the temerity to call me rail meat. Anybody know what that means? Here's what it means. It means that you're the guy that when they're making a turn and the boat's heeled over, you're the guy sitting on the rail to keep the boat kind of weigh it down. Thanks a lot, guys. You know your unskilled labor when. And then they said, oh yeah, here's what you can do. When I tell you to pull this rope, this is your one responsibility. When I tell you to pull this rope, you pull the rope for everything. Wrap it around this little spinny thing and a winch. And You pull that rope for everything that you're worth. Spinny thing is not a nautical term. And you pull it for all you're worth. And then when I tell you let it go, you make sure that it gets going. So I said, well, I think I can handle that. I mean, that's pretty easy. And so they had a little motor on it, and we got out into the middle of the water, and we're just kind of sitting there. And then the big sail, he told one of the guys, he said, now you let the big sail out. See, now they didn't let me touch the big sail. I was little sail. And so they said, you let the big sail out. And so he did his thing, and he pulled the ropes and let the big sail out. And all of a sudden, the boat that had been sitting there kind of dead in the water caught the wind. And that sail began to balloon out. And then the skipper looked at me and said, pull your rope. So I'm pulling my rope. I know what to do. Pull the rope. Sit on the rail. Pull the rope. Sit on the rail. That's my job. Anybody been sailing had to do that? Yeah. You know, that was my job. Pull the rope. And the first time I tried it, I apparently wasn't pulling fast enough. And can you imagine? He's saying, pull it faster. And I'm like, I'm pulling as fast as I can. Do I look like a sailor to you? And so we went sailing. And there's some things I want to talk to you about. I wasn't just telling stories. I have a reason for them. And there are some things I want to talk about with the work of the Spirit within our lives. And the first one, let's go to number one. The first one is, if your sail isn't up, you aren't going anywhere as fast. You say, what does that mean when it comes to my life? And what does it mean when it comes to my life and the Spirit of God within my life, with the Holy Spirit within my life? And here is the thing, that I have a choice about how I will respond to the moving of God's Spirit within my life. Will I open my heart? Will I open the sail of my life to catch what God wants to do and allow God to propel me as God wants to? Or will I keep my sail furled and say, I'm fine right here just the way that I am? You see, that's the choice that I have. Because God works within our lives, but God will not force Himself upon you. And what I noticed is, as I was out on that sailboat, and the sails were all wrapped up, and they weren't up, and they weren't out, and they weren't filling with the wind, was we weren't going anywhere fast. It was only when we opened the sails and allowed the sail to catch the wind that we began to move. And it's like that with the Spirit of God within our lives. That sometimes we want to remain like the sail of our lives is furled. And God, do whatever you want to do, but I'm not going to respond to you. And if you want to be empowered by the Spirit, if you want the working of the Spirit within your life, then you've got to begin to unfurl your sail. That means taking the things that tie you up and letting them go. You see, sometimes we get tied up with stubbornness. Often it's our pride. You know what our pride does? Well, I don't know if I want the Spirit to work in my life because I saw somebody fall out under the influence of the Spirit and I don't want that to happen to me. Or I saw somebody, well, they were, I don't want that to happen because I just everybody be looking at me. And here's the process with the Spirit of God is that when I begin to open my heart and I let go of my pride, because God has a way of dealing with our pride. And it's when I begin to release my pride and allow God's Spirit to be at work within my life. When I come to the point of saying, God, I don't care what you do to me. I am so hungry for your presence within my life. I am so hungry for your touch. That, Lord, whatever you want to do, and God will never hurt you, but whatever you want to do within my life, God, I'm hungry for you. And I'm laying aside my pride that ties my sail down. And I'm saying, God, do what you want in me. My hunger is greater than my pride. And until our hunger for God becomes greater than our pride, we miss what God wants to do within our lives. We get tied up with stubbornness. We get tied up with pride. But we also get tied up with fear. And pride and fear very much go along side each other. We get tied up with fear. We fear the unknown. We fear what might happen that usually never does. We fear people around us. We fear something that I can't totally explain. You see, I can't explain how God's Spirit moves. It's like the wind. I can see the result of it. I can feel the pressure of it. I can know that God's Spirit is present and at work. But you see, you can't see the Spirit of God. So we have to deal with our fear. But it's when our hunger overcomes our pride, and when our hunger overcomes our fear, and when we begin to unfurl the sail of my heart to say, God, just fill me as you want to fill me. It's when we come to that place. Until we come to that place, we're sitting dead in the water. I was looking at Acts chapter 1 and verse number 4. In the New Living, Jesus was speaking with his disciples just before he was going to ascend into heaven. And it said, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promises, I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He told them, you're going to go to Jerusalem. You're going to wait there. You're not going to go on a preaching campaign. You're not going to do anything else. I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait. And I was thinking about what he's telling them. Supernatural things have happened. God's kingdom is advancing. But I want you to go and do nothing except pray for 10 days. I want you to wait because you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. I want you to wait until it happens. And as I read that, I thought of Peter and John and the rest of the disciples who had been out casting out demons and seeing people healed and preaching the gospel about the good news of Jesus. And they've been out doing all of this, and Jesus was telling them, I want you to go and wait for the Spirit to come upon your life. And then I thought, if Peter needed it, if John needed it, if Philip needed it, if the rest of them needed it, how much more does Bill Price need it on a Sunday morning in 2017? But sometimes we feel like I'm good on my own and I'm empowered on my own and I can do things on my own. But Jesus was telling those disciples who had been with him that you are not enough on your own. God has more. As I looked at what he was talking to them about, the first thing he was telling them was there's going to be power to overcome. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, and this is challenging right here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, one of the issues that we face as believers is the struggle within. Paul talked about it when he said, when I would do good, evil besets me. He said, I've got good intentions, but I find myself doing what I didn't want to do. And here's what he tells them, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Does anybody know about that? Temptation comes along. One part of you is saying, no, 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 no. And the other part is saying, The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. He said, but here's the thing. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Open the sails of your heart to let the wind of the Spirit begin to direct you. He said, there will be power to overcome. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Let's continue on. You'll remember last week we talked about how that new birth is not turning over a new leaf. It's a transformation, a new life. Look at what he says. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. He gives them a list of things that happen when we follow our own way. He said there will be sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. And if you see yourself in there, he's saying, this is what the flesh produces. This is what happens when I lean on me. You say, well, I'm pretty good because I wasn't at a wild party this week. But what about outbursts of anger? Or selfish ambition? Or division? And he lumps them kind of all together. And then he said in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit. I love it when the Bible lists things like that and then it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. He said there's something about the Spirit that left to itself, the flesh goes off in this direction. But when the Spirit is at work within a life, he said the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And each one of these fruit counterbalances what the flesh wants to do. Notice this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. He said when God's Spirit is leading and guiding your life, you're not going to be breaking out into outbursts of anger anymore because the Spirit is producing love. You're not going to be jealous and envious anymore. I'll tell you why. Because the first time you get down to pray, the Holy Ghost is going to be talking to you and saying, what's up with this? Because I believe in the initial evidence of speaking in tongues is the baptism of the Spirit. But I also believe that too many times people are baptized with the Spirit, speak in tongues, and stop. It's like we want to furl in our sail because now I've got an experience with God that's powerful. But you see, the baptism of the Spirit is something that begins in our lives, but it doesn't end in that moment. God's Spirit works within us to change us from the inside out. He works within us to produce love and joy and peace. And brother and sister, you can release yourself to speak in tongues, but if you're not releasing your heart to be full of love and joy and peace, you are not walking in the Spirit as God wants you to. See, sometimes we miss the fact that the work of the Spirit is an ongoing work of the Spirit to guide and direct our lives every day. It's not just a work of the Spirit to touch us when we're in church. When I'm singing, you know, Holy Spirit, rain down. It's not just to touch me then. But God's presence and Spirit within my life is to guide and direct my life every day. To change the words that I say and to change the attitude that I have. God's Spirit at work changes us. Look at verse 25. He said, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Every part of our lives. A few years back, there was a movement entitled WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And the whole idea was to ask ourselves the question as we make decisions. What would Jesus do in this situation? But if you're filled with the Spirit, you move a step beyond. And you move to the point where the Holy Spirit at work within your life begins to direct and begins to guide. And we have a choice. I can choose to listen to the voice of the Spirit within my life, or I can choose to ignore it. Unfurling the sails. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 said this in the New Living. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. What are you thinking about? What are your thought patterns? I don't have time to preach on this for a long time this morning, but Paul talked about it. And he said, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure. What are the thought patterns that we have? He said, if we're dominated by the sinful nature, we think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Letting the Spirit control your mind moves you from the negative to the positive about life. Letting the Spirit control your mind moves you from anxiety into peace. Letting the Spirit control your mind moves you from hatred into love. Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind moves you from lust into purity. Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind means that you look at things with the eye of faith rather than the eye of flesh. Letting the Holy Spirit control your mind. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he told them there's going to be power to change you. There's going to be power to make a difference. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. There will be power to make a difference. Sometimes we limit that verse. And we say that that verse simply means that I will be empowered to be a witness. But that's not what it says. It says when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be empowered. That empowerment goes beyond being a witness. That empowerment goes to what Jesus said when he said, greater works than these shall ye do. That the working of the Spirit within the life of a believer is a working that is meant to be shown. And that as the power of God is working within your life, there will be a witness to those who are around you. Sometimes it'll be through words. Sometimes it'll be through your lifestyle. Sometimes it'll be through your actions. You're going to be my witnesses. And I bring you to my last point today as we get ready to close. From my sailing expedition, we're racing on a river. I'd like to tell you we won. That's the competitive part of me. We came in second, which was still second winner. And we raced one way down the river, and then we came to a point where you had to turn around a buoy and come back. And there was one of the boats in the race that was actually ahead of us on the first leg of the race. And when we rounded the buoy to come back, that boat started falling farther and farther and farther behind. It still had all its sails up, but when we came around that buoy, the first thing that the skipper was hollering, yelling, I didn't know that a sailboat could be noisy, but I guess it can. And he was above the noise of the wind. He was yelling to me, pull! So I grabbed my rope, braced myself and started pulling. And no sooner did I finish pulling when he said to the guy on the other side, pull! And he said to me, let her go! And so I'm letting her go. And it's spinning through the little winch thing. And then we went a little bit further. And he looked at me and said, pull it in! So I'm pulling it in. And he said to the guy on the other side, let her go! And so he's letting it go. And that sail on the front, and I forget, is it a jib sail or whatever it's called, it starts swinging from, it's going one direction and the other. And that boat that had been ahead of us was following rapidly behind. And as we were coming up the river and zigzagging our way, and the technical term, I guess, is tacking, we kept making adjustments, and he would yell to the guy with the mainsail, and there was a little, I don't know the technical term, but you would slide it one way or the other and then lock it in place, and he'd be telling him, okay, slide it a little bit this way, a little bit this way, lock it, okay, good, stay there, pull that rope a little bit more, and he was adjusting it. And the third thing I bring to you today, you got to open your sails, you receive the power of the Spirit, but then you've got to be, and this is a key word, in alignment. He said, when we came to a point where we could actually, you know, talk a little bit, I said, what's the deal with that boat? Because by the time we got to the finish line, you could hardly see that boat down the river. And he said, the way that that boat is, and the guy who is the skipper on that boat is inexperienced. He's new at it. And he said, the thing with his boat versus this one is we can get close to the wind, and he can't. And so he's going back and forth and just falling farther and farther behind because he can't get close to the wind. He can't get the real alignment that he needs because of his boat. And I thought about that when it comes to our life in the Spirit. And I thought about how sometimes we flounder. And sometimes we just kind of go back and forth. Because we never learn alignment to get close to the wind. Because as we were sailing, what makes the difference between a well-crewed boat and one that's not isn't just that you can get the sails up. It's that you can make the adjustments that you need to truly catch the wind. And life is about adjustments. It's about as we come to different stages and places in our lives and different circumstances to be able to sail close to the wind. So that the wind continues to fill my sails when everything's coming against me. To catch the wind when others can't. And as we stand together today, today, I want to challenge every one of us. If you're here this morning and you've never been Spirit baptized, I want to challenge you to lay aside the things that may stop you. To open your heart to say, God, if it's in the Bible, and it is, work in me right now. You might be here this morning and you kind of got off track and you're not catching the wind like you used to because you got your sails adjusted the wrong way. It's time to hear the voice of the Spirit as He gives guidance within your life to bring you back to where He wants you. You may be here this morning and you've been trying your hardest and trying on your own to get things done and to move ahead, but today I want to invite you to set your sail to God's Spirit. To say, God, by your Spirit, just move through me right now. Move through me right now. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, cause the power of your Spirit to move. Lord Jesus, in this place right now, Lord, that your Spirit would speak into hearts. Lord, it may be about a first-time commitment to you. It may be about receiving the baptism of the Spirit, or it may be about course corrections within our lives. But Lord, would you cause your Spirit to speak within our lives? Lord, today we hunger for what you alone can do and not what we can do. And Lord, I pray that here in the next few moments, that your Spirit, which has already been moving among us, would one more time begin to speak and begin to move and begin to change and begin to challenge. Oh Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be at work right now. Lord, I pray that fear and pride, preconceived ideas would be laid aside, Lord, in light of our hunger for you. And Lord, that you would speak into us now. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, break through in our lives. Lord, cut those things that bind us. And Lord, break through even now. Lord, from the front to the back of this place. Oh, Jesus, let the wind of your Spirit move through our lives. Lord, dissolve hardness. Lord, work right now. In the name of Jesus, let us be close to the wind. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In a moment, they're going to sing. I feel the presence of God here in this place. I feel God speaking and moving here right now, and I don't want to rush what God wants to do. Right now, would you let God's Spirit speak into your life? Would you just make it your prayer? God, whatever you want to do in me right now, whatever your Spirit wants to do in me right now, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Hallelujah. If it's to melt the hardness out of my life, if it's to melt the anger, if it's to melt whatever it is, Lord, just do it right now. Just let it happen right now.